is planted by the waters, by the rivers of waters. The rivers of water. The Bible says that out of our belly shall flow what? The rivers of living waters. That is the word of God. In this season, what you need to do is to be planted by the word of God. Let it come alive in you. And as we pray this morning, I want you to acknowledge this word in your life and say to the Lord this morning, and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to be planted by your word. I want the promises in your word in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 8 to come alive in me. Lift your voices and begin to pray this morning. Lift your voices and begin to pray. Lift your voices and talk to God. Let your promises come alive. The promises in Jeremiah 17 verse 8, let it come alive in me. He said, I will spread my roots out by the river, and I shall not see when it come. You say that my leaves shall be green, and I will not be careful. I will not be careful in the year of drought. This is the season of drought. Lift your voices and talk to God. Your words have promised me that I will not be careful in the season or in the year of drought. Lord, let this word come to pass in my life. In the name of Jesus, you say I will not cease from yielding fruit. That is your promise for me. I claim it this morning. I claim it this morning. I claim it this morning. Wherever you are, begin to claim it. Begin to claim it. That is what he has promised you. Begin to claim it. Begin to claim it. Claim it for your family. Claim it for your friends. Claim it for your loved ones. Claim it for your neighbors. Claim it this morning. So shall it be. In Jesus' name we are praying. Lift your
voice. This morning I want to welcome you to this online service. And I trust the Lord that great and mighty things will happen in your life. One thing is sure, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. It's like I shared with you the other time, is a challenging moment in the history of mankind. The corona pandemic that is ravaging the world right now. But the good news is, its days are numbered. His days are numbered. It's going to end soon. And the name of our Lord will become King and Lord once again in our lives. So I know that beyond the coronavirus itself, there are the challenges that also comes with the coronavirus, which is what I call the COVID-19 plus or coronavirus plus, which are the associated challenges that are synonymous with this season. But regardless of whatever it may be, some I may talk about, some I may not talk about, one thing is sure, if the word of the Lord says he will never leave nor forsake us, so I can assure you that God is still with you wherever you are, and is our present help in time of trouble. Amen. This morning I want to start a new series on the theme of Jehovah Jireh. Last week we shared on El Shaddai, God the El Shaddai. Today I'm starting a new series on God, Jehovah Jireh, or Jehovah Jireh. Say with me, Jehovah Jireh. So I'm going to be talking on the subject of divine provision, on that which is the subheading of Jehovah Jireh. And I would like you to open your Bible with me to Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, which says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Grace to help in the time of need. Amen. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all your needs, not just some of your needs, but all your needs, according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, via Christ Jesus. Amen. So one thing you will realize from the word of God today is that, number one thing I want you to first get right is that it is not a sin to be in need. And you are not in need because you are a sinner. It is not a sin for you to be in need, and you are not in need because you are a sinner. Right now, I know that there may be some financial challenges that some of us may be going through, some material challenges. Maybe you don't even know where you're going to eat tonight or today, or you don't even know where you're going to get your house rent. The school fees and bills have piled up, and you don't even know how to go about them. Is all this is not as a result of your sin. So you don't have need because you are a sinner, or you are not in need because of your sin also. The second thing I also want you to know that God is not intimidated by any size or the size of any need. Whatever the nature or the manner that of the need that will be confronting us, it doesn't matter. He's the same God. The same God that will provide bread is the same God that will provide car. If the same God that will provide car is the one that the same God that will provide money to pay the school fees. So whatever it is that will be confronting you, the size of the need is irrelevant to God. Rather, what matters to God is your response in the time of need. How you respond to it, because that shows whether you really know Him or not, which side of the divide you belong. Amen. Now, I want to now share with you, what is divine provision? What is divine provision? Now the Bible says, my God shall supply. Divine provision simply means God supplying. You can call it the supply from God. God supplying. So any provision, any supply that is emanating from God, that is from above, that is as a result of the hand of God, is what is called divine provision. God kind of provision. God moving in your hour of need and supplying whatever is needed. Now, in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, when the Bible says that, for my God shall supply, or but my God shall supply, God shall supply, God shall supply. The word supply there has about three unique meaning from the Greek word. So we are talking about the God, the supplier right now. And there are about three unique meaning. The first one is to make full. To supply means to make full. To fill to the brim. In other words, maybe the cup is half empty or half full. Or what, something that is not enough. It does not mean that you don't have it, but the thing that is not sufficient. It's not at the level you would have wanted to be. Yes, you need 15 naira or $15, as the case may be, but what you have is $5. Now, when God supply the provision or he provides and he supplies the remaining $10, so that there is no lack. Now, there is no lack at all anymore. That is called divine provision or divine supply. Now, it goes deeper than that. It's not just to meet the obligation, but to meet it in such a way that there is no room for need anymore. So it does not just give you the difference of $10, but it also goes ahead to provide more for you, so that particular need, if it ever comes to you again, will be met. So to fill to the brim, to make full, that is what the word, one of the first meaning for the word supply. The other meaning is to make complete in every particular. To make complete in every particular, or to render perfect. In other words, the thing is on, but it's not perfect. Yes, children are not in school. You have children, but they are sick. To make perfect. To make perfect. To render complete. So whatever it is that is not completed, when going, divine provision set in, divine supply set in, divine supply means to render complete, to render complete, to make complete in every particular. And I pray for you this season, God will make everything complete for you. He will render every form of imperfection perfect in the name of Jesus. The third meaning of the word supply is to carry into effect, to carry into effect, to bring to realization, to carry into effect, to bring to realization, or to bring to realization. What does that mean? It simply means when God is for, maybe there's a prophetic word, for instance, now, to carry into effect or to bring into realization. A prophetic word God has given to you, whenever that word is fulfilled, that is supply. That is supply. Whenever God brings his word to fulfillment, brings his word to realization, brings his word to pass, so the fulfillment of the promises of God, the fulfillment of the word, our life in a particular given circumstances, that is divine supply. Because on your own, you could not have made it come to pass. On your own, you could not have fulfilled those prophecies. So when God brings his word to pass, when God brings his saying to pass, when God fulfilled his prophecies and made them come to pass in your life, that is divine supply. Amen. So you add these three wonderful meaning for the word supply: to bring into realization, to bring into fulfillment, to bring the word of God to pass. The other one, to make perfect, to render complete, and the other one is to make full or to fill up so that there is no more room. Now, the Greek could not actually come up with a name, one word for this. So that is why Paul said, my God shall supply. But in the Hebrew, the Old Testament actually has a word for all this definition. Now, Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, verse 12. And he said, lay not thy hand. This is Abraham, when the Lord told Abraham to go and sacrifice Isaac. So he was about to sacrifice Isaac, and hear what the Lord said to Abraham. He said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Verse 13 then says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Verse 14 now. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Jireh is spelled J-I-R-E-H, but it's pronounced Ra, Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. Now, you what we just read right now, we just seen an account where the Lord himself told Abraham, go and sacrifice Isaac. He was away from where help could be reached, where anybody could just come to him by impulse to give him anything. But right there in the midst of that situation, God made a provision for him. And that was why Abraham called the name of God there, Jehovah Jireh. Now, when you go into the Hebrew meaning of, or the Hebrew meaning of the word Jireh there, there are two aspects. One is provide. The other, which is what is clearly written now in the English, is to see to it. In fact, Abraham said, in the mouth of the Lord, it shall be seen. It shall be seen. Jireh simply means it shall be seen. To see to it. So it does not just mean to provide, it means to see to it. Now, when you put this word back into Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, then you realize that what it simply means that God will see to it that you are filled to the brim. God will see to it that you are complete. God will see to it there is promises is come to pass in your life or are fulfilled in your life. That is what divine provision means. So divine provision means that God sees to it that you are complete, that God will see to it that you have no lack, that God will see to it that you are filled to the brim, and that God you see to it that his words are fulfilled in your life. Glory be to God. So when I refer to him as Jehovah Jireh, I mean the one who sees to it that I'm complete. I mean the one who sees to it that I am filled to the brim and there is no lack. I mean the one who fulfilled his promises in my life. In this season, for instance, maybe some of us have had wonderful things lined up for 2020. But right now, it seems to us that the challenges of this season is taking all those wonderful promises away from God, from us. Listen to me. Regardless of whatever may be happening right now, God will still see to it that his promises come to pass in your life. Oh, right now you may look at it and say, oh, before I had one problem, but now I have several problems. Listen to me. Whatever looks incomplete in your life as of today, Jehovah Jireh will see to it that every incomplete things or circumstances that are needed to be completed will be completed in the name of Jesus. He will see to it that you are filled to the brim. He will see to it that you are perfected. He will see to it that his promises are coming to pass in your life and it will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Now, taking a deeper study on this subject, you then realize that divine provision can be categorized into two aspects: tangible and intangible. God can supply tangible needs and he can also supply intangible needs. In Genesis chapter 22, what we just read, and in verse 14 there, we realize that what God actually supplied to Abraham was a ram. In verse 13, I mean, he supplied it a ram. That is a tangible need, material need. But if you go backward a bit and you go into Genesis chapter 16 verse 9, you realize that when Hagar was driven out of the house of Abraham by Sarah and she was alone in the wilderness, when the Lord appeared to her, the angel of the Lord appeared to her, the Lord did not give her water, the Lord did not give her food, but what God gave to Hagar in that Genesis 16 verse 9 was an advice. He said, return to your master's house. Return to your master's house. And by returning back to where she was running away from, food came to her table, protection came, everything she lacked came by listening to the counsel that God through the his angel gave to her. So divine provision can either be tangible or intangible. The same God that gave ram to Abraham gave an advice that led to provision for Hagar. Whatever it is right now, maybe your own may be healing and not food. Maybe your own may be that you are actually depressed and not that you don't even have money. Whether it is tangible or intangible, my God shall supply all your needs in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is that needs to be filled to be filled, whatever needs to be perfected, whatever promise that needs to be fulfilled, God will make it come to pass speedily in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, what are the keys to divine provision? I know for some of us, we may think of the key of faith. Oh, when it comes to faith, oh, and when we don't receive from God, the first thing we check is the level of our faith. Oh, it's like I don't have faith. It's like I don't have faith. It's like I don't have faith. And some of us will become so worried and encapsulated with the fact that, oh, it's all about faith. It's all about faith. Well, I'm about to shock you. I'm about to shock you. So listen now. The first key to divine provision is actually to walk in love. Walking in love. Walking in love. The key of love. In this season, you want to experience divine provision. You want God to come through to you. The foundation for divine provision is actually love. Why? I will give you three scriptures. 1 John chapter 4 verse 16 says, "And we know and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 3 says, "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." Psalm 91 verse 14 says, "Because he had set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he had known my name." Now, for faith to work, faith must actually be founded in love. Yes, you can have the gift of special faith delivering things to you, but I am talking about working on a regular basis in God, operating continuously. Even if you don't have the gift of special faith, how do you connect to divine provision? How do you begin to connect to divine supply? The foundation must be the love. The love for God. Love for your neighbor. Love for God. Because God is love. The greatest commandment remains the commandment of love. Let me read something to you. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 says, "For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." But faith which worketh by love. I heard the servant of God, or a robot, said something some years ago. He said, when you begin to see a believer running into financial crisis, or when you begin to see your finances drying out or running dry, he said, check, love is missing. He said, the first thing that the devil takes away is the spirit of love. Then he can attack a person. The moment the devil can stop you from walking in love, he has successfully opened the door for every other attack, including an attack on your faith. Listen, Matthew chapter 5 verse 23 have this to say. The words of Jesus says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother." Look at the word proton. First. Though it's not that fast first. It's not that pray first. It's not that go to the mountain first. It's not that check your faith first. First, go and be reconciled back to your brother. In other words, first, go and walk in love. Then come back thereafter and continue thy prayer. You see, what we just read right now, in Genesis chapter 22, where the Lord introduced himself to Abraham as Jehovah Jireh, it was after he had passed a test, and I call it the love test. When we talk about Abraham, the aspect we focus on majorly is the aspect of the faith of Abraham. But the faith that Abraham had was a type of faith that was founded on love. That is how come he experienced him as Jehovah Jireh. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And we'll read from verse 1. Genesis 22. And we're going to actually pick it right now from verse 1. And you'll see where it all began. "And it came to pass after this thing that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." Verse 2. "And he said, Take now thy son," three tests, "thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah." It was this test that made Abraham experience divine provision. Listen to me, you need to get this right now. I don't know the need that may be confronting you in your life this moment. An average person right now will be confronted with one form of need or the other. So we need to know now more than ever before how to operate in divine provision. And I'm telling you that the first key to divine provision is the key of love. Now let's look at the three tests Abraham just passed. The first test he passed was the test of value. The test of value. The Lord said to him, take now thy son. In other words, not somebody else's son, not your neighbor's son, your own son. Now, what was God trying to see? Because God knows that the one that Abraham would cherish most in his life at that moment would have been naturally been Isaac, because this was Isaac symbolizes 25 years of waiting, the fulfillment of 25 years prophecy. That was what Isaac represented. It was a type of supply, divine supply, after 25 years of barrenness. But God is not trying to see the value that Abraham had placed on Isaac compared to him. So he said to him, take now your... And God was saying to him, I want to see how valuable I am to you. When how valuable am I to you? How precious am I to you? And Abraham obeyed. And he took his son. Then the next test he passed is the test of measure. Say, thy only son. I know you don't have two. I know you don't have three. Even if you have six children, it's very hard to give one, because all of them have their unique traits and tendencies. If you have four, it's even very hard to give one. Talk less of having only one. Measure. You have only one, and I'm asking you, give me that one. He was trying to test the measure, thy only son. God was measuring his love in the heart of Abraham. The test of measure. How much do I mean to you, Abraham? Do I mean more than this one to you? Or would you have been able to say, if I have two, I will have done it? Then the third test he passed is the test of position. He said, whom thou lovest. Whom thou lovest. Your heart, Abraham. Mr. Abraham, where do I occupy in your heart? Where is my position? You see, the Bible says that for thou, the first commandment is this: thou shalt love the Lord your God. Anything you love above God is an idol. So God told Abraham, whom thou lovest. I know you love him, but I want to know whether you love him more than me, or whether you love me more than him. Abraham passed these three tests: the test of measure, the test of position, the test of value. You see, it was a test of love. It was after he passed this test that he was ushered into divine provision. So you realize now that faith must be founded in love. If your faith is not founded in love, it's nothing. He said, even though you give your body to be burnt, you have the faith of angels. If you have no love, you are like a sounding cymbal. You're just making noise. Some will come to me and say, Lord, we did this in your name, we did that in your name. Say, I depart from me, I know you not. Now you can get this done without love. But the one that will have lasting results, the one that will have lasting impact, is the one that is founded in love. How do you test your love? You know, there's a way to test whether you are walking in love. And I call it the heart recovery rate. You know, whenever you want to know whether a Christian is walking in love, check out how fast they recover from hurts. Whenever they are hurt, whenever they are offended, how fast do they recover? Because you see, whenever you want to know a body that is healthy, an average person will always have an injury, one way or the other. But the body heals. How quick your body heals, the cells are able to come together to heal that point, shows how healthy the body is. So one of the things you see that when people have diabetes, for instance, their injury does not heal on time. Or when the body is wearing out, the injury does not heal on time. It takes time for the body to heal. due to wear out, and sometimes due to sickness. So you see that, or somebody who has bleached the skin, for instance, now, who has worn out the skin through bleaching. Now, if such a person also had injury, you realize that it would take a long time for the skin to heal because of the state of that skin. Now, it is not normal for our skin to take eternity to heal. The same thing, when you want to know the spiritual state of a believer, of a child of God, watch at their recovery rate. Some can tell you verbatim what happened 5 years ago. And when they carry Bible. They carry Bible, they speak in tongues, and some of them will say, oh, me I've forgotten. Well, if you have forgotten, there is no way you can actually remember everything word for word, and you are still, and it's, the memory is still fresh as though the thing is just happening. Watch out for such people. There are always crises. Because you see, the absence of love in your heart makes you, your life infested by demons, because the devil has no iota of love in him. So the less love you have, the more of the devil you have in you. The lesser of love you have, the more the love is within you, the more hatred and the attributes of the devil is entering. So you wonder, why is it that I'm struggling? Why is it that things are not going the way it ought to go? Why is it that my finances is drying up? Check your recovery rate. Are you walking in love? It's a simple thing. I remember some years ago, I was doing something, and a woman came and attended that function. And when the woman attended this function, and I greeted the woman. And to my amazement, one of the things the woman said was, ah, you greeted me today. And I was shocked. I said, Mama, I've been greeting you. She said, no, you did not greet me on your wedding day. And I was shocked. I did not greet you on my wedding day. Say, but I've forgiven you today. So I cannot remember how many years after, perhaps 4 years or 3 years or 2 years. It simply meant that this woman carried that non-greeting of mine for that period of 2 years. Perhaps she will carry Bible, she will do other things, but right there in her heart, our wound was not healed. Our wound was as fresh as it was on that day she said, I did not greet her. If you have been married before, you realize that, you know, on your wedding day, sometimes mistakes do happen. And instead of her, she was just there. 2 years or 3 years later, then she began to recount that, oh, you did not greet me on your wedding day. Beloved, in this season of COVID-19, there are more challenges are going to come. Difficult moments are waiting ahead of a lot of the nations. Nigeria is not going to be exempted. Oh, I'm not prophesying doom, is the fact. You need God more than ever before. You need His help more than ever before. So you cannot carry the weight of unforgiveness, bitterness, and wound in your heart. Somebody did this some years ago. I will never forgive. Oh, you said this. I will never. You are only going to hinder God from moving in your heart. He said, if you don't forgive, your Father will not forgive you. He said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespasses against us. How soon do you recover? Or have you even recovered? Somebody jilted you? Somebody walked away? Somebody said something that shouldn't have been said? Somebody took something that was yours? Whatever it is, no man is man enough to hinder you from divine provision. So, beloved, in this season, it is time to begin to walk in divine provision. Heal fast. Heal fast. Heal fast. There needs to be love. Your love needs to increase. Your love needs to increase. Especially the love you have towards God and man. It has to increase. Because this is the key to divine provision. How do we walk in love? How do we walk in love? Keys to loving God. What are the keys to loving God? Number one, when we talk about love now, when you love God, you love your neighbor. When you love God, you'll be able to walk in love with your neighbor. Loving God simply means you are more like Him. When God has a foothold in your life, you can never keep malice for a long time. What are the keys to loving God? Number one, developing a quality relationship with God. If you want to begin to walk in love, or I should say, keys to walking in love. Number one, developing a quality relationship with God. How do you develop this quality relationship with Him? Fellowship is the key of fellowship. Now, you know, for some, they have what I call the waiter mentality. They see God as a waiter that they will submit their request to, and it will go by faith and return back to their answer. So the only time they know God is that, oh God, I need this. It's, for some, God is a waiter. He's just there waiting to take their request, waiting to take attend to their need. Waiting, he's a waiter God. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You cannot treat God as a waiter in your life and expect supernatural turnaround. You must develop quality relationship with Him, especially in the place of fellowship. You signal to Him for your needs, and you say, oh God, get me by faith what I need, and you are happy He supplied, but you don't know Him. You don't fellowship with Him. You don't have an intimate relationship with Him. How do you achieve this? How do you achieve this quality relationship with God? How do you achieve quality fellowship with God? I'm going to share one more secret with you. Is give Him the first hour of your day. Make Him the priority every morning. I've observed now that in this season, when people wake up majorly, the first thing they reach out to is their WhatsApp. Oh, they reach out to their phone. They want to know the latest news. Oh, I know some of us are guilty. When you wake up in the morning, the news are, news headline for today. You are so eager to know the news headline for today. When you wake up in the morning, the next thing is your WhatsApp. You want to check all the messages. Then God can come later. If you treat God like a junk, you cannot reap the harvest of blessing. If you want to develop quality relationship with Him, if you want to develop a beneficial relationship with God, you want to be more intimate with Him, you always must know that He must come first. Seek first the kingdom of God. God must be the first thing every morning. Even before you even say hi to your mommy, hi to your daddy, hi to your wife, hi to your sister, even right there from the moment you become conscious, the first person you say good morning, oh good morning Father, oh precious Jesus, good morning, precious Holy Spirit, good morning, oh good morning Father, thank you for another wonderful day, I bless your holy name in the name of Jesus. Right there and there you begin to lift up your voice and begin to worship Him, begin to lift up your voice and begin to adore Him. He comes first. You see, true provision answers to relationship. I provide for my children, I provide for my household, not because they have faith, but because they are related to me. I don't even require faith for my children for me to provide for them. I don't require faith from them for me to give them their daily bread. All that connects us is that we have a relationship. They are my children. They are my children. So stop wondering whether it's because you have not had faith. You don't have faith. The question is, do you have a sound relationship with God? Do you have a sound relationship with God? These are trying times. These are challenging times. Having knowledge of coronavirus will not even save you. Even you can have all the knowledge about it, it does not mean that you will be safe from the effect of it. A lot of the people in advanced countries that are dying, they know everything about it, but yet they are still dying. People that have lost their job, they know it, but they cannot do it. So having knowledge of the situation does not change things. But when you have knowledge of God, when you know more of God, it changes things. Knowing more of Him will bring healing to you. Knowing more of God, because the Bible says, those who know that come and do this season, you are going to do. Let me say something. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Hearing means acquisition of knowledge. So the more of the knowledge of God you have, the more of faith you are having, the more of the knowledge of God you are acquiring, the more you are building your faith. So to have more faith, you need to have more knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God starts with loving Him. Love God with everything you have. Love Him more. Fellowship with Him. Fellowship with Him. More and more. Say with me, more of you, Lord. Psalm 63 verse 1 says, O God, thou art my God. Any will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Oh God, early will I seek thee. Have you ever wondered why 5 loaves multiplied in the hands of Jesus? Have you ever wondered why fish brought out money for Jesus? Have you ever wondered why lack and need never overtook Jesus? Have you ever wondered why those 5 loaves were able to feed 5,000 and 10,000 people? Why is it that this multiply in his hand? His secrets can be found in Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And there prayed. And there prayed. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9, but as it is written, I had not seen nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God, which God had prepared for them that love him. Jesus expressed his love for God. Early in the morning, he went out and prayed. No wonder demons saw him and they were bowing down. No wonder when lack confronted him, lack turned to abundance. No wonder his boat could not capsize. No wonder death surrendered to his lordship. No wonder no circumstances ever overpowered him. Why? He prioritized relationship with God. One of the things I know is this. Those who don't prioritize relationship with God actually depends on men. Christians who don't prioritize their relationship with God is because they have depended on their man of God and not the God of man. So you see them that, oh, they always look for prophecies everywhere. But now you can't go for any church, any prophet anymore. Of course, there are mobile prophecies. But Bible says that prophecy will fail. I wonder sometimes you see Christians, they don't have time for God, but yet they are even afraid of cockroach. For a cockroach they will call blood of Jesus. For a rat they will call Holy Ghost fire. They know all the household enemy that are afflicting them. They know that is their grandmother. Right now they are even afraid of coronavirus and everything. Why? Because they don't know God. Those who don't depend on him, those who don't develop secret relationship with him, always depend on men. It's all about pastor's prayer. It's all about pastor's vision. It's all about what that man of God said and what this man of God said. Listen to me. God gave us the Holy Bible so that you and I can know him for ourselves. Beloved, it is time to develop that altar of relationship with him. It is time to know him. Put him first. I am not saying that you should never seek your pastor's advice. I'm not saying that it's wrong to go to a prophet. But I'm saying that if that is what you put first, you will be disappointed. Because no prophet is prophet enough to replace God in your life. No pastor is pastor enough to replace God in your life. Sometimes you know that they are human beings. Not that even so, that they are actually human beings. That's why we are called men of God. Servant of God. In other words, loyalty first goes to God before man. Before you hear from your pastor, hear from God first. Then he can then confirm what God is saying to you. The word of God is above everything. The word of God is more than any pastor. It's more than any church. So stop putting your strength only in the pastor. What my pastor said. What my pastor. When was the last time God spoke to you? And do you know it? Relationship. What kind of relationship? Quiet time. Early in the morning. You are there. Opening your Bible. It does not look so powerful. But that is the place of strength. Waking up a great while before day. Lifting up your voice, praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, picking up your Bible, fellowshipping with him. When you fellowship with him, everything changes. The day the prodigal son left the fellowship of the father, even when he had everything, he lost it. He lost everything. Why? The relationship that was supposed to guarantee provision was missing. So the prodigal son had everything. But the relationship was taken away And what did they amount to? Nothing. So regardless of what you may have right now, who you may know that is giving you confidence, when you take away your relationship with God, what will happen at the end of the day is zero. You will amount to nothing. That will not be your portion. So it is only with God that we can keep growing and amount to something great. I pray for you in this season. Oh, may the rivers of divine provision flow towards you afresh. When the prodigal son returned back home, from that day the need ended. When he returned back to his father, cloth was given to him, ring was given to him. He ate good meat once again. Why? It was relationship that was guaranteeing his provision. Your relationship with God guarantees your provision. It is time to walk in love. Build your strength in your secret place. And I pray for you in this season, whatever may be the nature of the need, whatever may be what the good thing you lack, my God, Jehovah Jireh, He supplies all your needs right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I don't know what has been making your heart to palpate, but with this season, no. In the name of Jesus, lift up your voice and just worship Him. Thank God because He's our Jehovah Jireh. Thank God because He's our provider. Thank God He's our awesome God. Thank Him because He's a faithful God. Thank Him because He never fails. Thank Him because He never changes. Thank Him because He's always there for us. As you begin to seek Him, oh, the young lion do lack and suffer hunger. But they that wait upon the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come on, lift your voice and just thank Him. Lift your voice and just thank Him. Lift your voice and just praise Him. Lift your voice and just adore Him. He's our God. We are the sheep of His pasture. He's our God. He never fails us. He never fails us. He's a miracle worker. We make a miracle worker. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness. My God, that is who You are. We make a Lord. We make a miracle worker. Promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who You are. Lift your hands and say, Father, I repent. In every way I've been far from You, I repent. In every way I've been seeking Your provision and not You. Now, Father, I seek You. I put You first. You are all that matters to me. And I thank You, Lord, that from today, my relationship with You is growing from grace to grace. In the name of Jesus. Now I'm going to pray for you. Father, I thank You for everyone that has listened and heard and watched this live broadcast. I pray for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that it shall all be well with You. I pray for you today that no need will disgrace you in this season. Any good thing that is lacking today, Jehovah Jireh, the God before whom I stand today, supplies your every need in the name of Jesus. May you be filled to overflowing. May you be life. May God see to it that these words come to fruition in your life in the name of Jesus. The God who sees, may His eyes be renewed and refreshed upon you in this challenging moment in the name of Jesus. And when there is a casting down, may you experience a true lifting up in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Father, because these ones are remaining victorious. Now, as they seek You early morning, as they put You first, my Father, guide them continually in this season. Show them the way of escape. Let both tangible and intangible needs be supernaturally supplied. In Jesus' precious name I have prayed. Now, maybe today is your first time of watching Overcomers broadcast. Before I close, I want to just tell you, something? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is all that we need. So this morning, I want to pray with you if you would like to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you don't know Him. How dare can you express Him as Jehovah Jireh? But if only you will believe in the only begotten Son of God and give Him a place in your life today, you will be saved. So if you'd like to give your life to Christ, I just want to place your hand on your chest and say this word. I say, Heavenly Father, I believe your word that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord Jesus, I call upon your name. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe with all my heart that He died for my sins and arose again. Today, Lord Jesus, I open the door of my heart to you. Please come into my life and be my Lord and my personal Savior. Wash all my sins away with your precious blood. And please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul today. I am born again. In Jesus' name. Father, I commit these ones who have given their life to Christ into your hand, that indeed all things will become new, and that you will glorify your name and yourself once again in their life, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Now you see that on the bottom of the screen right now, the prayer line is scrolling. I want to encourage you to, if you need prayer in this season, regardless of what you may be going through, you need prayer right now, I want you to just call the prayer hotline that are scrolling underneath the page right now. Call the prayer hotline. There are pastors waiting to attend to you, to pray with you right now. So just call the prayer hotline that are scrolling underneath the screen right now. Just so as you call those prayer hotlines, somebody is going to be there waiting for you to attend to you. And I want to encourage you, call those prayer hotlines, because we are God. I believe that we have been waiting for God to do something in your life as we join our faith with your faith in this challenging season. Both tangible and intangible needs will be supernaturally supplied in the name of Jesus. So feel free to call that prayer hotline that is scrolling right now underneath this broadcast, and just feel free to reach out to us. We want to hear from you. And if God has done something, maybe when I pray for those who are sick, God has healed you, and God has done something wonderful in your life, feel free to reach out to us through those lines. We are also waiting to take your testimony. We are waiting to hear from you. We cannot wait to hear your voice. Please feel free to share whatever God is doing for you through this Overcomer broadcast. Please feel free to share with us by calling any of this helpline that is scrolling on right now. And I believe that as you do that, my Father, my God, we're going to bless you and enrich you the more. And He who has begun a good work in your life will perfect it in Jesus' name. All right, I also want to tell you that it is, don't stop giving. Keep supporting the word of God. This keeps supporting the work of God. I want to encourage you to keep giving to the things of God. Don't let the devil tell you to shut your bowels of compassion. Our God is a supplier. Our God is a provider. So as you see the account number of the church, I want to encourage you to stick on it, to give. And as you give, you will not be stranded this season. God will meet you at the point of your need. Father, I thank you for all those who are giving either tithe, offering online. Right now, whatever they are giving their excellence. They are demonstrating faithfulness. I thank you, because this season they will not be stranded. You will continue to show yourself strong in their lives. For in Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Amen. Let's share the grace once again. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now forevermore. Amen. Till I come your way again, remain victorious, remain an overcomer, and the God of victory will continue to give you victory.